Hi, I'm Tori Aletto, and welcome to the Imperfect Person podcast. I'm your host, a licensed marriage and family therapist for the last 15 years. This podcast was created from the heart of my work, which is how the hardest parts of life often lead us to healing the relationship we have with ourselves. Each episode will dive into hard conversations with honesty and compassion. I'm so grateful that this podcast was produced by my friends over at Next Level University. And now, let's move through the hard stuff together. Hello, and welcome to the Imperfect Person podcast. I am your host, Tori Aletto. And today's podcast is about the myths of healing. Now, I wanted to do this podcast because I believe that these myths are also barriers for healing. And let me start off with saying this. I've said it before and I'll say it again because it's so important. Healing is the relationship that we have with ourselves. That is what we're doing. So when we understand that, we no longer look at, let's go to myth number one, going from broken to healed. I think we have this fantasy that if we do enough therapy, we read enough books, we listen to enough podcasts, that we're going to finally be on the other side of healing. And I get it. I've been there. It's probably the reason why I became a therapist, because I thought I was going to get on the other side of it all. When we have the mentality that we go from broken to healed, we experience a ton of shame. A ton of shame when we inevitably discover those parts of us creeping in again. And the problem with that, shame isn't the problem, because shame's around, shame exists, shame's there. That's okay. The problem with that is when we don't meet that shame with, oh, remember, I'm human. This is part of it. I'm not meant for this part to go away. When we meet shame with validation, understanding, compassion, grounding, softening, then we can actually take a look at the parts of us that we want to continue to work on and grow. But when we feel that our healing should be complete, when that codependent part of us should go away completely, and then it shows up inevitably, shame sort of corrodes the parts, that very part, that energy that we need to be honest, loving, accountable, and continue to grow. When we think of it that way, we want to always understand that healing is an ongoing journey. Yes, it's a journey that we choose to be on, and not everybody does, but it is still an ongoing journey whether or not you choose it. You know, I think of codependent Tori when I was dating, and I nailed it. I was like, I healed this. I self-soothed. I did all these wonderful things. I nailed it. And I'm on the other side. And now I have two children, and codependent Tori is just a different version of me. And I'm like, there she is. She nailed dating, but now she's in parenting. So that part of us doesn't fully go away, right? And when I think about this, I think about this quote that I always come back to that I've wrote, you know, on my Instagram or whatever, is how we treat ourselves in our hardest moments becomes that foundation for the relationship that we have with ourselves. You know, and that's obvious when we think about other relationships, right? Like those hard moments and how we meet each other in them, not perfectly. I'm not saying we're not reactive sometimes or whatever it is, but how we circle back and deal with the hard stuff in our relationships is what creates the foundation, the safety in the relationship. It sets the tone. And it's the same thing with ourselves. You know, often we're really hard on ourselves when we mess up, especially if we've worked really hard on healing. But the thing is, that in itself is what healing actually is. It's being able to soften that harsh inner critic. It's being able to notice instead of assume that we have to go with that narrative that we're not good enough or we're never going to get on the other side of this. It's really being able to soften and understand and validate. And how we meet ourselves in those moments is just imperative because it really sets the foundation for the relationship we form with ourselves. that I think most of us have to intentionally form and recreate. Because when we think about the relationship with the self, we were all given one. Or really, when we think about it, our family dynamics shaped the relationship that we formed with ourselves. And because many of us come from dysfunctional families, we have a dysfunctional relationship with ourselves. Some of us need a little bit more grace. Some of us need a little bit more accountability. Some of us need, you know, we all need a lot of self-compassion and validation and understanding in order to get to that accountability. So we are essentially redefining an intentional relationship that we have with ourselves. And those hardest moments are crucial. Another thing we want to think about is our wounds never fully heal. Now, if we don't ever process them, they certainly hijack and creep into all these different areas of our lives, right? Our ability to feel joy, our ability to connect to people, our ability to manage and self-regulate. I mean, trauma, wounds, these things really have a huge impact on how we live, who we choose to love, how we show up in the world. But we assume, I think, that healing is that we go to therapy, we process them, and then they go away. And I think that assumption is dangerous because then when they show themselves in another form, we get really hard on ourselves again. And that sort of shame storm corrodes the energy we need to move through. When we think of our wounds obviously are going to heal, but they'll always be a small part of us. It's similar to grief. You know, we don't ever get over the loss of someone we love. But at some point, we learn how to carry grief and live again. And I believe that's also what healing is that we honor our pain and carry it in a way so that it no longer impacts the way that we live. That's what healing looks like. When we can finally speak up and set those boundaries, they might be so painful inside our bodies, but we're doing it. Or we really decide that we're going to honor ourselves and we're going to change careers completely. And it's crazy and it's scary. And our wounds show up and our not enoughness shows up. And we're doing it. It's how we hold and carry ourselves, right? So that stuff never really goes away. We just learn how to carry it because we've processed it. We've processed it in our bodies. We understand it. And we've also sort of accepted it as a part of us. I think of every time when I make big decisions or big moves or hard things show up, I'm like, there's those parts of me. What's up, guys? You know, there they are. I'm not trying to get rid of them. And I tell you this, when we take away the pressure of having to get rid of pain, trauma, wounds, any of that, it makes it so much easier to address them when they show up and move through. You know, we really get stuck. We almost get hijacked when we have this expectation that they should be gone by now. Another myth that I want to address is when you know better, you immediately do better. And I'm like, wait a second, that quote makes sense, but we're missing a middle piece. And the middle piece is us knowing information, crucial. Crucial because we connect the dots. It makes sense. You know, oh, I get why boundaries are so hard. That makes sense to me. That does not automatically equal setting boundaries. No way. That's simplifying growth and healing. Knowing is one part. It's an important part because if we don't know, we can't do better, right? Because we don't even know what we're doing better. But knowing does not change the very difficult process of integrating, right? The integration between what we know and what we do. That's what most of us are struggling with when you think about it. It's like, I know I need to do this, but I don't. I know this relationship is over, but I can't leave yet. I know that I have to take better care of myself, but not yet. I'm not going to do it. Right? We know what we need to do. Many of us do. It's the doing that's so hard. And the doing is so hard because it's integration. We're integrating all these different parts of us. We're learning how to navigate the parts that want to shut down pain and embrace it, feel it, so that we can make moves. You know, there's so much of it that we're trying to do. And I think that that quote, when you know better, you do better, really minimizes the integration process that we're all doing constantly on an ongoing basis. Okay, next, another myth is that we have to replace negative thinking with positive thinking. Now, I have a lot of respect for CBT. I've used it very much, and I think it's important to know our thoughts, you know the quality of our thoughts, but not necessarily because then we have to erase them and replace them. I think that creates a ton of pressure. A better way or another way, because it's not a better way. You might go, wait, that works for me. So then trust it. But if it causes more pressure or you're frustrated that those negative thoughts don't go away or aren't replaced, an alternative is noticing them. Ah, I'm putting myself down right now. Ah, those thoughts are popping back up. Oh, that narrative about me not being smart enough. There it is. There it is. It's causing me so much stress in my body right now. When we notice, we can detach, right? That's kind of essentially what meditation is. It's noticing our thoughts, not necessarily to change them, but meeting them. When we notice something, we can decide how we want to meet them. So when we notice the thought that we're not smart enough, we can then decide, how do we want to meet this thought? How do we want to soothe? How do we want to soften? How do we want to validate? Oh yeah, those thoughts come up because this is a big move. That makes sense. You know, we don't have to replace necessarily. And I think that's important because then we just allow. And for me, I'd rather use my energy on meeting those parts of me than getting rid of them altogether. Now, this goes along the lines with what we're saying here. But healing, this is another myth. Healing is that we no longer engage in dysfunctional behaviors. That sounds beautiful. Not true. Not true. Healing is our capacity to notice when we are engaging in dysfunctional behaviors. It's the ability to pause and go, ooh, I'm doing that. Or to self-reflect and go, oh, last night, wow, I've been numbing all week, or, you know, for the last, you know, last night. Oh my God, what's going on? You know, it's the ability to pause. That's what healing is. We don't get rid of our dysfunctional behaviors. They don't go away. They're so ingrained and automatic. We do get better at noticing them, and we do get better at being accountable. And we continue to grow, right? Maybe they happen less frequently, but they don't completely go away. Again, it's a much better scenario to take away this pressure. Pressure is the barrier. When we remove pressure for things to go away, then we have the energy on how we meet them. And noticing and meeting them is way more impactful than having them never exist again. Now, this one's not going to shock you either, but it's important. Another myth: we get rid of unwanted feelings and now we feel happy. So healed equals happy. Let's reframe this here. Healing isn't getting rid of any feelings. Healing is learning how to tolerate feelings, all of them. That's actually what healing is. When you think about going to therapy, and you know, and I talk about this on both sides of the couch or Zoom nowadays, when you think about therapy, your therapist isn't trying to get rid of your feelings. They're trying to sit with you in them. They're trying to help you grow a tolerance for them. They're not trying to fix everything for you. They're trying to sit, because most of us already have that very natural reaction. Oh, I'm anxious. I want to get rid of this. Oh, I'm angry. I don't want to feel angry anymore. Or I'm sad. I don't want to grieve anymore. I get it. I get the idea. But we can't just get rid of feelings. Feelings are important. They're useful. They're actually the place when where we learn ourselves more deeply. Imagine getting rid of all of our anger. How would we ever find our boundaries? Or we bypass grieving, it doesn't work that way. Like, how will we learn ourselves? If we're grieving a relationship, let's say, how would we ever learn what we truly value and look for and need in another person or in ourselves? We can't bypass that process. So healing is actually learning how to tolerate feelings, not getting rid of them, and certainly not feeling happy all the time, because happy is just one emotion. If anything, healing allows us, the more we process pain, the more we can sink into joy. Those two things go together, but feeling joy is not the same as wanting to be happy. We assume happy is this like prolonged state of joy. And yes, sometimes we feel that way, but then the next day we're sad again, right? Joy is really being able to be present when happiness is right in front of us. All right, one of my favorite ones. I did a quote on this and people really liked it, and I'll tell you why. The myth is, if we are repeating patterns, we aren't healing. Now, I see different versions of this quote on the internet swarming around, and it makes me upset. And my reason why it makes me upset, because it's not true. We are repeatedly wounded, which is why we have wounds to begin with. Repeated scenarios, you know, our family dysfunctions, let's say, don't occur once. I mean, yes, there are times where something big happens that creates a trauma and a wound. Absolutely. But most of the time, things are reoccurring. We're repeatedly wounded. So it makes perfect sense why we would repeat patterns over and over again to heal. The repetition is a calling for healing. It's not about us being unhealed. If anything, the repetition is showing us that something is there that we have to look at. That's what healing is. Again, the capacity to notice a pattern is what helps. We're falling into that pattern. We're having trouble, you know, when I notice boundaries are really hard when I start dating someone and all those good chemicals kick in. It's so hard to stick to my boundaries. When I know that, I can notice that stuff about me and decide how I want to show up differently. That's how we change a pattern. It's the ability to notice. Right? It's not that we don't repeat. We will repeat, but we heal by changing how we show up in those moments. All right. Another myth, that we have to heal before we live. This is the kind of thing where we say, oh, I have to be perfectly healed before I love someone or enter a relationship or change careers or do anything, whatever living is to you. Here's the thing. There are certainly moments in life where we have to pause and fully focus on ourselves. I mean, absolutely. But if those moments last for 8-9 years and you think you still have more healing to do, more learning, more books to read before you do the thing that you really want to do, likely we're using healing as a shield. And that shield is hoping that we can heal enough to bypass pain, failure, heartbreak, rejection. And that's impossible. That's part of living. So when we think about it, if we're using healing as a shield, we want to redefine what healing actually is. And it's, how do we live alongside our wounds? How do we build up self-trust so that I don't feel like I have to completely heal this part of me, but I can trust that I'm going to do my best to continue to meet it? That takes us further than feeling like we have to complete some cycle of healing in order to do whatever it is, the next thing that we really want. And I think in a nutshell, that's the thing about all of these myths, you know, that really create barrier, pressure, shame. And they sink us into this like narrative that, oh, we're not good enough. We're failing at healing too, right? Not only am I failing at relationships or work or parenting or whatever it is, I'm also failing at healing because I spent a ton of money and time in therapy and I'm doing this thing again. If we can remove some of these barriers and redefine what healing actually is, when we can meet shame with understanding, with compassion, and we can move through to get accountable. And that's what truth growth is. So I'm excited to say I finally have my website up. Yes, you can kind of click in here. It is up. My webinars are live. I have an incredible dating webinar that if you are in the midst of that, I would highly recommend. It's one of my favorites. I have webinars on self-regulation, self-abandonment, self-trust. I mean, there's just like a little load of wonderful gems in there. So check it out. And if you aren't already, come find me on Instagram at NYTherapist. Thanks.